And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Monday. You ready? You ready? January 6th. J6, 2025. I apologize. I was going to type yippee-ki-yay in the chat. Folks, thank you for joining, and I didn't have time. Although I have plenty of notice, 60 seconds before, and then the intro, and, you know, anyway. But I feel that this should be a yippee-ki-yay day today. Anyway, we got the obvious interesting visual of Cackle's McKnee pads having to certify her loss in the victory of Donald Trump. I thought that was just I don't know. I found it. I chuckled. Okay.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
And there is Eric the Tech coming through like always, man. Yeah, you did it all right. And we're gonna tell people how bad you did it. But you know what? Even worse than that, I have a great show lineup for you. On deck with me is John Moore, thelibertyman.com. If you haven't visited his website yet, oh man, you got to do so. And not just visit his website, read the links, read the articles, the links to his products, his sponsors. I'm telling you what. And listen to his show every weekday morning. If it's too early for you, hey, you ain't doing it right. I'm kidding. But today you had a great show. As usual, talking about some pretty interesting stuff. That's right. Now, it was pre-swearing in, so now this is post-swearing in, so he's on both sides of the event. But we're going to be talking about a couple of things. We're going to be talking about not just what everyone else is talking about, but we're talking about things that you need to know, I think. Interestingly, I'll just toss this out there. The supposed first case of the first death from H5N1, the bird flu. Yeah, that happened. That happened today. So, you know, buckle up, prepare to be psyoped one more time, or at least they're going to try to psyop us, right? I'm telling you, it's coming. But we're going to be talking about the odd things that are happening. And as well as the terrorists that are inside the U.S. coordinating with ISIS, we've got verification on that, obviously. An interesting piece or a segment about the RNC and DNC pipe bombs. The reason I mention this is it's J6 today. It's J6 today. And it's relevant. Because you break this nut open, this will indict. This will shed light on everything. I don't know how many people saw. I'm trying to remember who interviewed. I didn't put it in the show notes. So there was an interview with the J6 prisoner, you know, a young man who, young by my standards anyway, and even John, even though he's better looking. Young man who was dressed, you know, in a suit and tie and walked into the Capitol 4 years ago today. Walked in. I think took a selfie or two with the statue. You know, maybe took a picture of the rotunda the rotunda. And then, or statuary hall, whatever. But, and then walked out. And, I didn't grab it. I bumped it from the show notes, but he was saying how he received a sentence of 3 years in prison. He spent 14 months in solitary in the D.C. gulag. All right. Think about this now. He was denied basic medical care, denied basic anything. He had 1 hour a day out of his cell. The people behind this need to be punished. Not people like that. No, this was a Fed's direction. I'm sure John's going to have some So a lot to talk about. But the pipe bombs, there's a lot of really weird stuff coming out. There was a report, there was a House subcommittee report on the J6 and DNC and RNC pipe bombs. Look, again, you crack that nut, you're going to find probably Cheney, Pelosi, some DNC operatives, some Fed assets, and DNC and Fed assets primarily, whether it's FBI, HSI, Capitol Police, even on a different level. But we need answers on this. And in 14 days, President Trump is going to take the oath of office. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I said last night at the supporters meeting, and thank you so much for attending the supporters meeting. Sometimes there's just a whole lot of great stuff, that a lot of interesting stuff. And other times we just talk. And other times people talk and give information. I just enjoyed myself, and I appreciate everyone who supports this program. You know, we've been kicked off of pretty much all platforms. We've been kicked off of Patreon. We've been kicked off of YouTube. We've been kicked off of Spotify. We've been kicked. And my stepson asked me today. In fact, he might be joining me, not today, but he's really, really just, I mean, a tremendous researcher. I've got to say, he's unbelievable. And he reminds me of me. Okay. But he asked me a question. He said, "Have you tried to get back on YouTube?" "Yeah." He said, "What happened?" Well, they won't let me get back on YouTube. Have you tried a different name, different this, there? Yep, yes, 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 and yes. And he said, "Well, how come Benny Johnson's on there?" And he named off like a dozen of people that are on YouTube. And I said, "You know what, Josh? See, that's a great question. If you can give me an answer to that, and chat, if you can give me an answer to that, why are some who talk about some of the very same things we talk about, why are they allowed to be on YouTube? Why are they allowed to be on Spotify? Why are they allowed to be on certain other platforms? But we're not." All right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. The link will be in the program description box. And folks, again, really, if you want to know the link, source links that we use during this program, each program has individual links, cited sources. Put the name of the link. You can click on the link. You can see who it's from and all of that. Attribution is there. All you have to do is go to Hagman PI, two N's on Hagman, HagmanPI.com. Click on the show title. That'll open up a box. It'll have the audio. It'll have the video on top, audio below that. There's show links right below that. And then you can follow us on various social media. It has all the links to the places that we're on. I think, yeah, I was going to say even the places we're not, but no, that, of course not. So anyway, that's how to do it. John, welcome to the show, my friend. Thanks for joining me.
Good to be here. Thank you. Good to be here. Thank you, Doug.
Well, yippee-ki-yay. I didn't type it in the chat, but I'll say it to you. So, John, you know, we've got like a lot of mysteries here, just conundrums. You know, I think we're going to have to summon Columbo to solve some of these. We've got the Tesla Trump Tower bomb story. We've got, of course, the New Orleans story, which, you know, it's so many things about these don't make sense. You've got the various infiltration You've got the unanswered questions going all the way back to, I mean, for crying out loud, we could take it all the way back to the first World Trade Center bombing and right. even before that.
Right.
But let's stick with what's relevant right now. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with New Orleans. First of all, normally murder is not a federal offense, which does not give the FBI any jurisdiction. I guess they rate this as a terrorist attack to bring the FBI in, because typically I've never been involved in a murder where the FBI was involved at all. Have you?
I had to stop and think about that. A murder? No.
Well, murder's not a federal crime. Murder's not a federal crime.
Okay.
Unless it takes place on on government property, or is a federal official involved?
I have to say this. My third book, which will be coming out very soon, and don't ask me when, folks. My wife at the time, myself, we had vacation with just a lovely couple. And he, the husband was a bank manager, and his wife was a housewife. And we spent a weekend at Seven Springs in Western Pennsylvania, and we were good friends. And they had two children. She was kidnapped in 1988, and my friend's wife, the bank manager, my friend's wife, kidnapped. And the FBI immediately, I mean, this, again, I reference this, I don't detail it, because but it was contemporary to the events of my book, and it's a true story. This was the weirdest thing. So the FBI was called in. It did turn into a murder investigation, and as a matter of fact, it turned into a murder plot, where the perpetrator of the kidnapping, a husband and wife team, planned on killing the husband, the FBI lead agent in the case, and someone else. But I'll leave that alone.
Okay.
But to answer your question, only if it's involved with another federal crime. But I've never been involved not personally.
Right. Maybe I haven't read the Homeland Security laws, but maybe it's something under Homeland Security that gave them jurisdiction.
Well, okay. You know, what got me was that tour of the home.
The New York Post reporter. That's a crime scene that should have been secure, because I saw a lot of things there that would be interest me as a homicide investigator that were still there to be picked up and looked at by anybody or taken out of the house by anybody. I don't see how that's even possible. The crime scene should have been secured unless they cleaned out everything that could possibly be evidence, which clearly, obviously, it was not cleared out.
You know, I didn't even notice the fingerprint powder residue. It was almost as if they let her in and the camera in.
You'll be looking for other fingerprints other than the perpetrator, obviously.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've seen, like you, we've both seen crime scenes subsequent to the law enforcement going in and checking things out. It don't look like that. I mean,
No. I was working on a cold case, a 20-year-old murder case. It's been about 10 or 12 years ago, and I was 20 years old then. And Missouri Highway Patrol still has custody of everything that was in this household. And we had a room that was maybe 40 by 40 feet with conference tables set up, and this material spread out on all these conference tables is still preserved by the Missouri Highway Patrol in this murder case. That's the way you conduct a murder investigation. Investigating authorities take into custody anything and everything that might possibly be related to the homicide. And that clearly wasn't done, Doug.
No, it wasn't. And is anyone asking questions as to why? I mean, is anyone bringing this up? You know, what the hell? Because if I was the chief of police of New Orleans, like this Ann Kirkpatrick, this geriatric grandmother DEI hire, useless. I'd be pissed because that's my crime scene. Don't screw with, I don't care who you are. Don't screw with my crime scene. You know?
Here's an article written, let's see, looks like today's date by Nick Hamilton, published at something called Slay. Here's the headline. Multiple FBI agents trash federal agencies handling of New Orleans terrorist attack. This is embarrassing. Obviously quoting an FBI agent. So we're not alone in our thoughts on this, Doug.
Well, I guess I you'd have to be a moron, or I mean, even if you're not even if you have no LEO or law enforcement experience, you'd have to be a real idiot, okay, to allow somebody to tramp through a crime scene.
Well, here's another quote from the Washington Times. A number of rank-and-file agents of the FBI are reportedly embarrassed and dismayed over the agency's initial handling of the aftermath of the attack.
Mm.
These are active-duty FBI agents still on the payroll.
Interesting. Now, here's my question to you. And okay, so kind of stepping out of that directly, but indirectly. Let's say, and I believe this to be the case, I do believe Kash Patel is going to be successful in the appointment as head of the FBI. Are we going to see a house cleaning where this crap doesn't happen?
I hope so. And it has to begin at the top. Most of the SACs, the special agents in charge, especially in the bigger cities, are probably going to have to go into early retirement. There has to be changes at Quantico where they're teaching these agents improperly, obviously, in my opinion. A lot of senior people will be retired. There'll be junior people promoted that have not been involved in the corruption of the past, well, going back to the first Trump administration, 8 years, quite frankly. 8 years worth of corruption in a number of agencies, including the FBI. And Kash Patel, I think, is the ideal guy to clean it up.
You know, if anyone hasn't read this book, Government Gangsters, if he puts to action what he wrote in his book, then I'm okay, because we're going to see some perp walks. And if we don't see perp walks from people like Weissman, McCabe, even dare I say Comey, we are going to have to see demonstrable change and actions. And if we don't, you know what? I'm going to be peeved at the very least. But okay. All right. Now, John, you had the New Orleans attack. Reportedly, this man said he became a member of ISIS. Okay, there's documents out there. Anymore, I'm looking at stuff. Unless I know the absolute source, the origin, I don't believe. I mean, I'll say, look, this is what's on. This is what so and so is saying, but I don't know. Was this man? I mean, what do you know about New Orleans, and what bothers you the most about that case? Because we're going to move on to Vegas, yeah, and then some other things. Go ahead.
I spent a week on Bourbon Street on a homicide investigation back in the early 70s, and I was there long enough to know it's a pretty disgusting place. But
wait. So let me get this straight. Okay. So back in the 70s, you did conduct a homicide investigation on Bourbon Street.
Right. I was looking for a witness in a murder, and
daytime, good luck with that.
Daytime, I was literally knocking on every house and apartment door in near Bourbon Street. Uh-huh. At nighttime, I went from bar to bar up and down Bourbon Street looking for my witness.
Isn't that fun? Trying to find.
It was work. And all I had to go by was Cadillac Mike. That's all I had to go by. The street.
Really?
Cadillac Mike, yeah. I think I found him, but he wasn't cooperative, so I went home. But I spent a week doing that, yes.
Was his head shaped like a wick or what? Okay, or did he have hair like a wick? But interesting, yeah. I've been there, not on Bourbon Street, other places, and it blew my mind. I was looking for a I'll say a material witness, and it was a homicide in Buffalo. And this was, all I know, it was right after the first or second infantata. Intifada. What the hell's that? And I walked up the stairs. I got halfway up the stairs, and this guy is shouting at me in Arabic. And all I can understand was Allah Akbar. And I thought, holy crap, you know, I ain't doing this shit. I'm not doing this. And I had to but anyway, but so, okay. So go on with your story. Bourbon Street and
Candlelight. I purchased clothing, so I would blend in. I blended in so well that I got some interesting offers that I won't talk about. But one door I knocked on had a guy just back from Africa as a mercenary. He was quite intoxicated at noon and quite proud of his mercenary work. Getting back to the subject at hand, the evidence shows that the murderer in New Orleans did convert to Islam. The evidence shows he did support ISIS, but they don't have membership cards. There's no way to tell, that I'm aware of, if he was actually a member of ISIS. And how could that even be determined unless there was some chain of command linkage with actual ISIS people in the Middle East or someplace that could be shown where he a chain of command linkage. So it appears he did convert to Islam. He did support ISIS and the goals of ISIS, and he may or may not been involved in their chain of command as a member, which, quite frankly, I think is irrelevant. He supported their goals, which means to kill the infidels. The religion of peace kills people who aren't members of the religion of peace. I find it rather bizarre to begin with, don't you?
You know, I do, and along with that, Nigel Farage is now, apparently now looked upon as on the outs. He had made a very controversial statement. I think it was this morning, if not, it was yesterday. Whereas, look, you know, basically to England, to Great Britain, I told you so. And now we have a problem with respect to the Muslims overtaking, you know, raping and really screwing with our culture,
which has been going on for 20 years. They're finally admitting it publicly now. Right.
Well, now, Nigel Farage has always been very outspoken, but about that. But you know, apparently, man, politics is so weird. I don't know. There are people in the West saying, "Well, you know, yeah, I'm not so sure about that statement." Hey, look, if we don't do something, that's the way that you're going to have your daughters are going to get friggin' raped in this country. Wake up! All right, yeah. So, but apparently, this Jabberwocky guy, whatever his name is, admitted to his family he joined ISIS, whatever that. I mean, what do you do? Take a blood oath? Like you said, no membership cards.
Well, but very likely the leadership of ISIS doesn't have a clue who this guy is. He felt that he had joined them. It's an emotional thing, not anything based on evidence. And quite frankly, does it matter? I don't think so. He's Muslim. He supports the goals of ISIS. That's enough for me. Whether or not he was part of their chain of command is not relevant to me. What's relevant is he did convert to Islam and he supports the goals of ISIS. That's enough. And I don't see any point in pursuing it any further.
Yeah. You know, Tom Homan, right? I think you've met him.
I talked to one of his associates and I haven't had a chance to speak to him personally.
I got to tell you, that man can, people, I've said this before. I love the guy. I mean, I have the utmost respect for the guy. I met him in DC and I sat down and, we got introduced and, I said, how you doing, Mr. Homan? And he said, you can call me Tom. I said, no, Mr. Homan is fine to me. Thank you. You know, but he scared the living daylights out of me. I mean, he's a guy that, well, seriously, he could rip your head off and hand it to you, and you'd be thanking him. But I hope that he will just come out of the gates like he wants to, and
he
is unrestricted.
Oh, he will.
But I don't want his hands tied, man.
Who's going to get in his way?
Well, that's a good point, I guess. I mean, believe me, if he knocked on my door, he's one of the only people I've ever met in my life. He knocked on my door, I'd just say, I surrender. What I do? Tell me what I did. Yeah. I'm kidding, but the guy's he's got a great heart, but I'll tell you what, he no-nonsense kind of guy.
That's what we need. That's exactly what we need.
Indeed, we do. So, okay. All right. Now, we've got the Islamic situation to deal with in this country, this Muslim. And I don't care. Look, folks, it's not a religion. And, John, you've said this. It's not a religion. It's a system of warfare. It's political warfare. And, I mean, Islam is not a religion. It's really not, right? I mean,
it's a system of government with several very bizarre things at its foundation, including pedophilia and bigamy, both of which are illegal in most Western countries. We talk a lot about Iran, for example, and Iran is very common and acceptable for 9-year-old girls to be married, which is a crime in this country. It's acceptable for a man to have as many as 5 wives. 2 or more is illegal in this country. These people, when their foundational beliefs cannot and will not ever be legal in this country, I don't see how they can ever possibly assimilate. Do you?
Well, no. No, but I can see how they're elected to Congress. I mean, look at Ilhan Omar. That married her brother, right? Wasn't that Omar? I don't want to get it the other one?
Right.
No, it was Omar. Okay.
That was a marriage of convenience to give him legal status to get in this country is what that was.
Sure. But still, you know, again, you've got this, hey, open the doors and accept peaceful coexistence with peaceful coexistence with true Islam is not possible. They're here to conquer. They're here to take us over. Just like Mr. Farage said, that's why they're in London. That's why they're in throughout Great Britain is take the country over. End of story. And if you're not, if anything less than that in understanding, you're not understanding. So, and you know, I have to give you a lot of credit because on this platform, you were always talking about this and talking about the Islam. How'd you put it? Muslim, communist, Muslim.
Socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims. Yeah.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
Well, a lot of liberals and maybe others feel that Muslims can't assimilate and become what we might call normal Americans. Well, they can't. First of all, the average IQ coming out of Pakistan, for example, is 70. And we're looking at averages here. That means there's as many with a 60 as there is with an 80. They can't read and write their own language, let alone English. There's no possibility of somebody with 70 IQ who is illiterate in their own language, let alone English, assimilating and becoming a productive American in any way, shape, or form. They might be able to pick apples, but other than that, they're hopelessly lost in a modern culture that requires an IQ of at least 90 or above to be able to function and to be literate in the language that they're the country they're living in. Neither one of which is very likely to happen, and they don't want to happen. In fact, since Muhammad was illiterate, many Muslims think it's the correct thing for them to be illiterate as well. So they have no desire to even be literate in their own language. These people can't possibly. There's no way that Muslims can assimilate in Western culture. The two cultures are so opposite, so different, and so opposed to each other that it can never happen. Now, here they are, the Muslims are attempting to start to finish what they started 3 centuries ago, which was to invade and take over Europe at the Battle of Vienna in 1629, I believe it was. They were stopped by the equivalent of what would be NATO now, where the European Christian countries got together under the leadership of a Polish general and defeated the invading Muslims. Now they're
great history on that, the Battle of Vienna, the gates of Vienna. Yes.
That's right. So here we are now. They're using a different tactic. They still have the same goal, to conquer the European countries, have them become Islamic. Now they're using different tactics. Instead of an invading army, they have hordes of migrants that are coming across with no weapons and you're taking advantage of the good nature of many European countries. The people in Sweden seem to be the worst. In fact, the ancestors of the Vikings seem to be embarrassed to be the ancestors of the Vikings. It's amazing. You know,
that's kind of sad, but okay.
It is. Yeah. But that's reality. They're ashamed that they're educated, productive Caucasians, and they think they're making up with that embarrassment by bringing in people from the Middle East who have a 70 IQ, can't read and write their own language, have no intention of learning the Swedish language, they have verbal skills only when it comes to their own native language, and they have no ability to be a productive member of Swedish society. The Swedish welfare system is equivalent of being a middle-class person in the countries they came from in terms of having a home with hot and cold running water, air conditioning, heat, and the amenities that almost nobody in the countries that they come from have unless they're a somewhat upper-middle-class person.
Right.
These are men and women who've never seen a flush toilet. You know, it's hard to imagine the dire absolute poverty these people come from, and when they get to a place like Sweden, they think they've died and gone to heaven with the amenities that are provided. They don't have to work; they can make babies and do whatever they do with their spare time, and they have lots of spare time because they don't work.
You know. I just, I remember, I'm friends with Laura Logan. And
I got to meet her and shake her hand.
She's just a gem. She's a hard worker. And very well researched, well traveled. And I saw, I don't know, a couple of minutes of an interview when she was in Cairo and savagely attacked by
that group, and
it just breaks my heart because if people in this country don't wake up, and by the way, she's asking some very pertinent questions about New Orleans, about Vegas, and about all of this. God bless her. But, you know, you look at that and you think, you know, it's coming here and people are just trying to shove this down our throat, this diversity, this equity of culture. There is no equity of culture here. And I'm sorry if that, I'm not sorry if it, I don't care if it offends people. There is no equity of culture. You know, you bring people into the country in order to make your country better and assist them in their lifestyle at the same time. It's a give and take thing. With them, it's just, we're going to take over, we're going to take your women, we're going to impregnate your women, we're going to conquer you from within. That's what, and you've been saying this forever.
Well, I have. I'm not Catholic. I attend a Baptist church, but I attended a number of Catholic churches with a friend in Metro St. Louis. This goes back 5 years ago. On the front door of the church was posters advertising the social get-togethers between the Catholics and the Muslims, as if this was a good thing. And of course, the Pope is promoting this as well, obviously. And I don't know how many Catholics are participating in this, but if the parish priest says it's a good thing, they'll go ahead and participate. But the basic premise of Islam is to conquer the world and to murder the infidels, which is anybody who's not Muslim.
Right.
How can that possibly be compatible with any Christian religion, Catholic or otherwise? How can it be compatible with any Western country at all, where the basic premise of the religion is to murder those who are not part of that religion?
Yeah. And therein lies the idiocy of the people that we see here, or maybe it's not idiocy, maybe it's deliberate. Hey, let's let's open the doors, let's kind of meld and pretend it's okay. But if that's the case, man, I don't know, you talk about You talk about infiltration and treason. That's something.
Japan has the right idea. They don't allow Muslims to do anything to make a business trip there. That's it. They cannot. There's no way that I'm aware of that a Muslim can become a citizen of Japan. It's simply not allowed. And I say good for them, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, 100% good for them. And I think that's what we need in this country. You know, as even, I don't want to say archaic, but as brutal or unfair as that sounds, maybe to some, you have to understand the motive of the people coming in to take us over. I mean, you've got a former CIA officer. I don't know whether you saw the video with Sarah, I think it was Sarah Adams, I think that's her name, where she's saying, look, we have intelligence where 1,000 Al-Qaeda fighters are in the U.S. for the next homeland attack. And as a matter of fact, while we're on this subject, why don't we do this? This is cut three. This is cut three. Obviously, the reference here is to the Islamic terrorism component. House Intel Chair Mike Turner confirms terrorists are inside the U.S. coordinating with ISIS. This Mike Turner was on Face the Nation yesterday. Again, I don't know how many people saw this. It's relevant to what we're talking about. So it's a minute long, roughly a little over a minute. Face the Nation from yesterday, cut three, and then your comments on the other side. That's the Liberty Man, by the way, thelibertyman.com, John Moore. But here's cut three.
Chair Turner, shortly after that, you said on this program, we have terrorists that are actively working inside the United States that are a threat to Americans. Do you know if there are active terror cells in the United States right now?
Well, I think the issue of cells, and you and I were talking about that at the beginning of the show, are there individuals that are affiliated with ISIS and terrorist groups and organizations that have crossed the border and they're inside the United States? Director Wray, FBI director, has said so. We certainly have intelligence that says so. I agree with his assessment. Jim has also seen it. He's testified before our committee publicly of that fact. Those individuals are working in conjunction with ISIS with the intention of harming Americans. The director has said it directly.
They are known to U.S. intelligence and law enforcement.
And we are working diligently to try to take them down, to prevent them from doing so. And that's why the director is publicly saying such. And that's what the new administration is going to be handed. The fact that these individuals are here, that we need to locate them, we need to remove them, we need to bring them to justice and prevent them from doing harm to Americans.
What you said, pretty much, John?
Absolutely. Well, friends of mine involved with law enforcement have been observing a mosque in Metro St. Louis, placed under surveillance. The healthy young men go in there early afternoon. These are young men in their teens or 20s, maybe even their 30s. They come out 2-3 hours later, all beat up and bloody. That's just one mosque. It happens to be in St. Louis. These men are training. They're using what I would refer to as full force martial arts. They're not holding back. Your typical dojo. People don't come out of the dojo beat up and bloody because they don't go full force. They simply don't do that. But these young men, they do, and they're training. Now, that's just something that can be observed from half a block away with proper optical instruments to make this observation. We had an incident in Missouri. It's been 8 or 10 years ago where Muslims from Columbia, Missouri, is known to be, unless it's changed, known to be two cells in Columbia, Missouri, which also has a couple of universities. They were buying propane tanks and electronic devices that could be used as timing devices to make explosive devices go off. And that was open news. There's nothing confidential about that. And of course, many reports of Islamic training camps around the country where they train with small arms and Lord knows what else, possibly explosives and tactics and so forth. So they're here, they're training, they're armed, they have a goal, which is to conquer the United States, destroy the United States, which they call us the Great Satan. And they fully intend to do that, Doug. And There's no such thing as collateral damage to them. Any non-Muslim who dies is a bonus for them to get their place in the Muslim heaven. They look forward to dying. Yeah. If they die waging jihad, they're immediately in their Muslim heaven forever with 70. I found it took a little research, but I finally found out who the 72 women are. They're actually 72 9-year-old girls that they spend eternity with. That each time they have sex with one of the 9-year-old virgins, when the sex is over, they revert back to being a virgin, and they never defecate and never urinate. Also in this Muslim heaven.
Sounds like some of the TikTokers I've heard express the same. Never mind. Yeah. Okay. It's ridiculous on its face. I get that. But you know, look,
these are not. And the president of Turkey said it well. There's only Islam. Americans and Western try to divide up into jihadists and radicals and normal. There's just Muslim. There's just Islam. Right. And when the president of a Muslim country like Turkey says that, I think you can take that to the bank. There's only Islam. And this religion, this bizarre way of living, a bizarre way of wanting to conduct themselves and take over the world, literally take over the world, that is their goal, is not compatible with Western civilization. Simply not.
Man. Okay. So, to what extent do you see this year and moving forward the influence of terrorist groups, known terrorist groups like ISIS or Al Qaeda or whatever, influencing events this year, John? Do you see a resurgence, or do you see, because of President Trump, his cabinet picks from the FBI director, DOJ, Pam Bondi, to Tom Homan. I mean, do you see this lessening, or do you see it not affected? I mean,
the real ISIS that's here in this country, which include other groups like Al Qaeda and so forth, they have a chain of command. These cells, they don't work independent of their chain of command. If they get orders to kill somebody or blow something up, they'll do it, but they don't do it until they get those orders. And I'm not privy to their chain of command or their communications. But if they decide to cause mayhem in this country, they certainly could do so. And as I mentioned many times, it's not a secret among anybody who's had special forces training that you don't need firearms or explosives to bring down any city overnight. All you need is common hardware store tools, sledgehammers, hacksaws, chainsaws, whatever it might be, to knock out the water, electric, telecommunications, wastewater, natural gas, and so forth. This is not a secret. And if they choose to do so, they can bring this country to its knees overnight with no weapons or explosives, either one.
Well, I'll tell you something. I do believe that the left, the communists, well, as you describe them, the socialist, Muslim, communist, I'm sorry, I can't.
Socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims.
Right. There you go.
That rolls off my tongue, right?
That and combined with the long-term goals of the deep state, one world government, you know, throw the green scam, Green New Deal. All of these people are working toward ultimately the same goal, and that's for this oligarch takeover of planet Earth. Okay. So, okay. Now, okay. Okay, so New Orleans, obviously ISIS is inspired, if not direct ISIS. A lot of weird things with that, including but not limited to what we already discussed about the crime scene being obviously opened up to the public, and this guy being, despite, you know, the perpetrator being killed at the scene, which no tear lost there, I guess, but... Is there anything else that about that attack that we should be looking at? Or
I think we've covered that sufficiently. Though it's still early. It's only been a week since this thing happened. There's going to be more coming out, more details as we move forward. But okay. I think we've covered sufficiently for the time being, Doug.
Okay. So let's, if you don't mind, because man, oh man, I've got some real issues with Vegas, the Las Vegas terror attack.
Yes.
Okay. And folks in the chat, I know you do too. And look, I know there are people out there who claim to have answers. And you know what? In the real world, okay, outside of the internet realm, when you're doing real investigations, sometimes answers don't come that easy. Just ask either one of us. I think we
right.
can.
No,
you know.
No. My typical murder investigation lasted 1 year, and that was almost without exception, right. 1 year.
But you know, with Las Vegas, okay, there are so many things wrong with that whole picture. Why, obviously, for those people, you know, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about the Cybertruck Tesla electric vehicle, Michael Livensberger, however right. you pronounce his
right.
last name, allegedly drove this vehicle. Of course, you had Sean Ryan program claiming to have an email from the perpetrator who blew up his vehicle. But when you look at the email, you're going to find that it appears to be a draft of an unsent mail email because, well, it just appears that way. And perhaps the way it also looks, to my eyes, it looks like it was not written by one person, but maybe two people. But I digress on that. What do you know? What do you feel? And hey,
let's break this down a little bit. First of all, the busy time at a hotel, if you wanted to hurt people, you would do it when people are checking in and checking out. Typically, people are checking out between 8 and 10 a.m. I don't recall the time, but the place was almost vacant. This is a guy qualified to make real bombs because of his training in special forces. And apparently, he had off-the-shelf fireworks that you could get at any fireworks stand inside the truck and in the cab and in the cargo area that made some sparks and did burn up the truck a little bit, or quite a bit, but didn't even break the glass. It was only 16 or 17 feet away. There was no explosive device that would be considered anything serious, pretty lightweight stuff for a man qualified to make real explosive devices. It's been mentioned his signal account was changed after he died, and apparently that can't happen. The signal is a encrypted messaging system that I've used myself, and apparently it's so well encrypted that it can't be changed by anybody other than the person whose account it was. But the account was changed after his death, which is very suspicious. He had to, if it did in fact happen in the way it's been said, he would have to give proper access to his account to a third party, which opens up another whole set of questions, of course. We talked before the show started about the pistol, the 50 caliber Desert Eagle. It's a really big, really heavy pistol that typically a Green Beret would not own except for the value of showing off to his buddies that he had
bragging rights, right?
Bragging rights, that he had this big, heavy pistol. The evidence shows that he was still alive when the bomb went off, but he supposedly was dead before the bomb went off. The fire started, whichever way you want to call it. Are the feds involved in this thing too? Do you know?
That appears to be
okay.
A question. The short answer is no. I don't believe so. However, they appear to be okay.
Well, ATF may have some jurisdiction with an explosive device. I don't think the FBI would. I don't believe they would.
Well, what I heard was the FBI office in Vegas had somebody at the It has somebody poking around at the crime scene, right? So
I don't know that they may have jurisdiction with an active duty military person. He was active duty military on leave. That may have given us some jurisdiction there that I'm not aware of. Certainly the Army, the CID, Criminal Investigation Division, would have jurisdiction since he was active duty military.
Right. Right. But wouldn't that be JAG, somebody from the JAG?
Well, the JAG are the lawyers. The CID do the investigation.
CID. I'm sorry. Okay. Right. Okay.
Just like the Sheriff's Department and prosecutor. So the Sheriff's Department would be the CID. The prosecutor would be the JAG.
Well, I mean, a narrative, they're trying to form narratives here, in my view. For example, AP the other day, I think this was, I don't know, 2 days ago, saying that this man, his wife, or he told his ex-girlfriend of pain and exhaustion after Afghanistan. Alleged Cybertruck bomber was big Trump supporter, according to various sources, the Daily Beast on this. The bomber, his wife left him days before. Okay. Well, okay. Whatever. And of course, the very special ID that survived all of this conflagration, it must have been issued by the FBI, because the last time I saw this kind of ID survive something like this,
it was 9/11/01.
Yeah, 9/11. That's it.
Right.
So his military ID and his what was the passport? Whatever, his identification.
It was a passport, right?
Okay. So, gee, go figure. You know how convenient. I don't believe anything anymore. I just don't believe. I you know what? Show me. You can't tell me this guy's body was burned beyond recognition. And I said him in the meeting last night. 35 years I investigated. I don't know. Probably a dozen car fires, fatal car fires, either as a consequence of an accident or cause unknown.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Okay. Ain't pretty, and nothing left. Okay. And now, supposedly, at the time, well, we got some ID from his tattoo. And by the way, bones, you can get ID from bones. They have a lot of DNA in them. But okay. And there was a mismatch, supposedly, to his son, which brings to the question, well, could it be it's not a son? Could it be it's not him? And what the hell? So what the hell's going on with this? What kind of PSYOP is this, John?
Well, I serve in PSYOPs, both in active duty and in the reserves.
So it's your fault.
Right. I see PSYOPs being played out all the time because I recognize it when I see it, because that's what I did for several years of my life. I'm not sure what the goal is here. Now, going back to the note that he allegedly wrote, I've read a number of suicide notes. Typically, whoever writes a suicide note is at their end. They see no solution other than ending their life, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. I didn't get that from reading that note. I didn't get a sense of he was personally distressed and at the end of what he wanted to live his life. In fact, he also mentioned, I think in the signal communication, that he was planning to go to, he was hoping to get to Mexico. So he seemed to have an intent to escape the crime scene, seemed to be his goal, as opposed to dying there. Are you aware of that yourself?
Not as deeply as you are. I'm still looking at the path of travel, which I found interesting, a rather rather odd path of travel from his point of origin to the Las Vegas destination.
He had to plan a route where he could get the electric car recharged. That may have something to do with it.
Okay, so you've heard, obviously, that he felt that he was being followed, right?
Yeah, you know, that part of his letter seemed like he was paranoid to me.
Okay, because the last thing I would do personally is take a Tesla Cybertruck, which is a computer on wheels that needs charging every, I don't know, however many miles, where there's video everywhere, carry a cell phone, my own, and I don't know. And the video of him charging up certainly didn't look like he was, you know, running from anyone. So I just, again, nothing is adding up on this. There's something here. I just, and Chasters, look, let me just say this. Okay. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know, but John doesn't know, but you know what? We're investigators. We can look at it. Credentialed investigators. We can look at it. There's nothing that fits in the normal sense in this.
No, not at all.
Yeah. If you got this as an assignment, what the hell? I'd be looking at the person who gave it to me, saying, "What?"
I'd be interviewing the is it a wife or a girlfriend he left that was left?
Well, it depends. Both, I guess. Both.
I'd be interviewing the wife and the girlfriend. I'd be interviewing all the guys in his unit that were close to him. I'd be looking at all the documentation I get my hands on.
Right.
It would be a tough case. No doubt about it. It'd definitely be a tough case.
Man, this is really strange how all of this, is going. In fact, let's go to page one. This is Revolver. And folks in the chat, you can, if you look at the screen, you'll be able to see this. John, I found this a pretty compelling, let me pull this up here on my, I found this a pretty compelling article that, from Revolver, and they've got some pretty good people on staff there. I have to say this.
They do. Right.
Now the title is Tesla Trump Tower Bomb Story is shaping up as the biggest and craziest PSYOP yet. And there it is on your screen, folks. You can see the passport there. Or is that passport or is that whatever that identification is at the top? And then down into the text, the Trump Tower bomber story just keeps getting stranger. Some parts of the saga are downright terrifying and fascinating, while others feel like pure fantasy, reeking with that all-too-familiar CIA stench. And you know what? That is where I'm at in my head. As we try to wade through the convoluted mess, we're stumbling on a video clip that might help clear things up or at least give us more to think about. The 9-minute clip lays out the entire story from where it all started to where we are now, with new details still unfolding as we speak. You'll be the judge how deep the PSYOP runs. But one thing's clear. The story's strange, and a lot of things just don't add up. Let's start with the passport. It's nothing short of miraculous. You know, about it not burning up, of course. writes the author, maybe they should make some cars and planes out of the paper they used to make the passports. Yeah. Now, we're told that he was an active duty, right? Active duty Green Beret. So you can imagine how special ops community is dissecting the story. And word on the street is plenty of people in those circles are saying this whole thing just doesn't add up. And if it, let me tell you something. If it doesn't add up, it's bunk. It's bullshit. It's not. I mean, I don't look. John, if it doesn't add up, a couple of things. We're either asking the wrong questions or we have to go back to the beginning and, you know, we have to question the facts, all of them.
We do.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a bizarre story. I'm not sure what the goal of a PSYOP would be. Quite frankly, I don't know, understand what that goal would be. Unless they're trying to show that a Trump supporter was unhinged, possibly. But it's a big so what if one guy becomes unhinged.
Now, one of the things, did you happen to see, and it's cited in this article, and you can leave that up, Eric the Tech, that's fine. And you know, John and I can talk minimize. But did you happen to see the Sean Ryan show where In this Revolver article, it does state that one of the wildest twists in the saga came via the Sean Ryan show. Ryan, who's a former Navy SEAL, dove straight into the chaos when he had Sam Showmate on this podcast. And Showmate claimed that he received an email from the Trump Tower bomber the day before the bombing happened. So if true, writes the author of this article, that's a powder keg. But beyond the jaw-dropping claims, there's something deeply suspicious about it, too. Now, we encourage, writes the author, you to check out the podcast for yourself. Just keep in mind that both of these gentlemen are part of the military intelligence apparatus.
Military intelligence apparatus.
I'm sorry. So you're right. Military intelligence, yeah.
The dead guy was part of military intelligence also?
No, that's Sean Ryan and his guest, Sam Showmate.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, well, look, it could be, I'm not indicting anyone. I'm just saying, let's be aware of who we're dealing with. And I don't know. I guess he's allowed on YouTube. Just saying. I don't know. But anyway, so it was, he dropped this episode and posted on X, episode 155. Okay. So again, I don't know Sean Ryan. I don't know the other guy. I don't know anything. I'm not saying anything bad about him. He could be the nicest guy and the most informed guy in the world. I don't know. But okay. So you would think that, man, this is pretty heavy duty. And then, of course, he's talking about drones and, the gist of the email that was discussed on the show is this: World War III is on the horizon, and it's set to be a showdown between the U.S. and China. Okay, gee whiz, who just saw that coming? With all those drones, we've been spotting playing a starring role. Now, I believe some are from CCP, or from the Chinese Communist Party and their army. I do believe that, but not all of them, but I believe some of them. But okay. Now, imagine if the email is real. What better vehicle for military-industrial complex to rev up and kick off a world war than this thing? Let me tell you something, John. I believe that the powers behind the deep state, they are frothing at the mouth, foaming at the mouth for World War III. And I'm going to stop there because the article, folks, it'll be linked at the and I'm not going to play the video or anything like that, but there are so many layers to this thing. Maybe that is it. Let me see. Ian Carroll, John, you might. No, that's the 9-minute one. Folks, you can watch those on your own. But the question is, what kind of psyop is this? What are your thoughts? I mean, what the heck, John? Help me out here.
Well, if there's a goal between behind the Las Vegas of incident and some kind of psyop mission, it's really not clear to me what that goal is at this point. That may change, but I don't know what they would hope to accomplish in terms of psyops. The goal of any psychological operation is to influence what people think and believe and what they do. And I don't see where this particular operation would do any of those things for anybody in this country, what they think, what they believe, what they would do. That's the goal of a psyop operation, which I was part of for years.
Again, it's your fault. I'm joking, but
I know you are.
But you know, that's a good point. And here's how I feel. Okay, because you have to question too. Now, until you know, you don't know. Because was that explosion, fire, whatever, was that a countermeasure in a sense to cover up the true identity, forensic countermeasure to cover up something more, and the passport and stuff being planted? Was that, you know, maybe was it really him that was in that vehicle?
With modern forensics, assuming we have ethical coroner and laboratory, there's no way they can fake a death anymore like that, assuming that these guys are ethical.
Assuming, there it is. Okay. Now, I'm just going to share a very quick story with you. I did share this in part, actually more with the people who supported us last night in our meeting. I'll just say this. When President Trump was shot at in the attempted assassination, was hit in Butler, Pennsylvania, a team went down and with no preconceived notion of anything. And one of the big things that we wanted to do was verify the identity of the shooter.
Right.
Okay. Because there's this big, really, it wasn't him. It wasn't him.
Right. Right.
Right. It was this guy. All right. So understanding that, we did a couple of things. Maybe not we probably did some things that we probably wouldn't admit to necessarily.
Right.
But I can guarantee you, we found the documentation that verified that the man on the roof was in fact Thomas Crux. Okay. Now people say, "Oh, that's bullshit. You were lied to." Okay. All right. That's fair. You don't believe me. That's fine. But how we got this information and where we got it from, I'm not going to reveal because,
Don't do that. No, don't do that.
I got enough problems. But the fact of the matter is, another person was, said, "No, it was this guy that was on that roof." Okay. So we went. And I looked the other guy that was supposed to be on the roof that was dead. I looked him square in the eyeballs, and I was able to verify his identity. But not by saying, "Hi, my name is Doug Eggman, and I just want to make sure." No, it was done in a really odd manner.
Mm-hmm.
But that also allowed the pretext under which it was done permitted some level of, that person having their guard not up. And so anyway, that was dispelled. But no matter how much I sit here and tell anybody that, but I'll say this. There are so many problems with that assassination attempt. I mean, problems that you folks haven't even thought of yet, but there are many problems. But that's not one of them. The reason I mention that is this case seems like that. Like, okay, we still have to identify. I mean, make sure that that dead guy is a dead guy, as stated, right? I mean, and how do you do that in our position, yours and mine?
Well, we can't, obviously.
Yes.
Obviously, we can't.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to dominate, but
well,
okay.
That's okay. You may or may not know this, but Sam Andrews has been asked by a judge in Butler, Pennsylvania, to be an expert witness to testify before a grand jury. That's expected to happen sometime this year if it takes place. Grand juries are never in a hurry, it seems like. And, of course, Dan Bongino, I think, is one of the best people to discuss this, which he's discussed it very extensively since he was a Secret Service agent on the presidential detail. His analysis, I think, is one of the best that I've seen and heard about what took place in Butler, Pennsylvania, and will probably continue to be, Doug.
Are you referring to... Now, I know, based on what he said publicly, about the ballistics and about the wind and different things.
Right.
Is there more to that? Or is that...
Knowing Sam as I do, I've known Sam since 1994. He'll do a very complete, detailed analysis of everything that he's qualified to analyze. As the man, he's won more 1,000-yard rifle matches than anybody in this country. And his expertise in rifles and ballistics and optics and ammunition and making a hit or not making a hit, there's maybe two or three men as qualified as him in the entire country to make that kind of analysis, and he'll do a very detailed one.
Yeah, I'm familiar with his resume, and obviously he can't speak publicly, nor should he, about that. But I mean, again, folks, look at the environment which we find ourselves. We have Las Vegas. Many questions. New Orleans. Yeah, quite a few questions yet. We had Ryan Ruth down in West Palm.
At the golf course, yeah.
Right. We have Thomas Matthew Crooks in Butler. Okay, we have a Chinese back. I can't believe it was 2023. Chinese spy balloon fly over the entirety of the U.S. Okay, we have drones. We have mystery fog. We have people saying, "Well, hey, look, you know what? I feel sick after being exposed to this fog." And we're seeing reports of DARPA being involved in spraying what amounts to the Corona COVID-19, vaccine in quotation mark, the in aerosolized fashion.
Right.
So is it a Pfizer fog that we're seeing, or is it something else? Is it drone related? What about the drones? What about the spy balloon? What about all of this crap? I mean, we still haven't gotten answers about Maui. Hell, we haven't gotten answers about the Las Vegas shooting in 2017. Nope. But yet people just we've been really programmed to like go on to the next thing before really answering everything from the previous thing ever since JFK.
That's the general public. There are people with the responsibility and to do these things professionally because that's their job. And hopefully these things are being done behind the scenes, Doug.
Man. Well, you know, I don't trust. I have little faith, little trust. I look at the explanations offered. They fall short. I just on the chat, somebody saying drones are holograms. Okay. Maybe they are. Is that in the realm of possibility? I don't know. I can only investigate so much. You can too.
Right.
But all of these are weird things. I don't want to just hammer on this stuff, on this particular, these issues. Now we hear, Alex Jones was talking about this today, of course. We were talking about it. You were talking about this many for a long time. H5N1, the bird flu or variation of H5N1, now claiming its first victim. And now, you know, full panic, or not a full panic mode, but a full programming mode by the deep state. Hey, we need to take action right now. Isn't it convenient? You know, 14 days out from the inauguration of President Trump. I'm not saying it's going to affect the inauguration, but, you know, certainly our food supply, it could, as well as our freedom of movement and other freedoms like COVID did. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the CDC, the NIH, FDA have all been thoroughly discredited. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is going to be exposing this harmful, illegal activity they've been involved in now since 2019. There'll still be people who will go along with another pandemic and with wearing a mask and getting the new vaccines. But it's going to be a far smaller percentage. I personally know at least one pastor who will refuse to close his church. He did so voluntarily back in 2020. He's not going to do that again. The evidence is clear and convincing that the casinos were open, the churches were closed.
Strip bars, liquor stores open.
Absolutely.
Corner stores, not so much. I'll tell you what, these people broke this country, and it pisses me off because I see it every day. I drive by businesses I used to frequent that were closed during idiotic lockdown crap. I see people still wearing masks. They're still delusional.
I know.
And I see doctors' offices saying, well, you better. No, I ain't doing it. And nor should anyone else. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. They fooled us once. Fooled us once, shame on you. Fooled us twice, shame on me. And that certainly applies here. We still have way too many people that believe the pandemic was real, that believe the vaccines are safe and effective. Nothing could be further from the truth. And Bobby Kennedy Jr., his job is to expose all this. And I think he'll do an excellent job exposing it, going after people who lied in the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, all of which had criminal activity involved in approving these vaccines, not allowing the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine to be used, using the remdesivir, where half the people that take it die, give or take a few percentage points. It's a massive criminal conspiracy that's caused and will continue to cause for years in the future the death and disablement of tens of millions of people. We have this study here that the biggest study ever done was recently completed and released in Italy. Not quite 9 million people used their protocols to determine what's happened to these people that got only one dose of the vaccine. And I've got
Okay, are you referring to the link you sent to me?
Right, right.
Okay, Eric the Tech, this is a separate email from the show notes. It's titled page 5. And you can put that up if you'd like, because John is referencing this report or this article about the report that was issued. And there it is right there. Go ahead. Continue,
okay.
John.
Well, here's some bullet points here. These are the percentage increase in the following. Ischemic, if I'm saying it right, ischemic stroke, 95% increase. Cerebral hemorrhage, 95% increase. Transient ischemic attack. I'm not sure what that is, but
those are mini strokes. TIAs.
Mini strokes. Okay. Yeah. 95% increase. Myelitis. 95% increase. I'm hard on these words. Myasthenia gravis. 95% increase. We'll go down here. Alzheimer's. 22.5% increase.
Yep.
Cognitive impairment, 137.7% increase. Depression, 68.3% increase. Anxiety disorders, 43.9% increase. Sleep disorders, 93.4% increase. this stuff is poison. Could it be more clear if they want to kill us, Doug? I don't think it could be.
No. And okay, so you think about this, and then you think about what they're saying about the bird flu, you know, and oh my gosh, one person died. Look, if that is the case, then obviously gain of function was introduced. Now, who in the hell is still doing gain of function and why? All right. They want to kill us. They want us dead. Folks, if we have to put a stop to this, and we better make damn well sure that that President Trump follows through his executive powers by whatever branch, whatever, in RFK and whoever else in Joe Doakes, who's working for wherever, follows through on this, because we need answers on this. We need the people like Ralph Baric, in my opinion, and Anthony Fauci. We don't need him in jail. We need him under the friggin' jail for crime, and Bill Gates under the jail. Anyone that's spreading, chemicals through the air under the friggin' jail to make an example of them. I'm telling you right now, this is, and the Chinese came out with this other virus. I don't know whether you saw this, John, today. They're saying, oh, nothing to see here. They're playing around. They're tinkering around with the gain of function themselves. And now that there's a new respiratory virus coming out. And it's just non-flip and stop. And I'll tell you what, you stop flights from China, you stop people from going there and coming there, and you prosecute those people involved in the U.S. To the fullest extent possible. And if you don't do that, we the people will. But go ahead, sir.
Well, the Nuremberg war crime trials took place in 1945, 1946.
Yep.
There's something called the Nuremberg Code that came out of that, which I started talking about this in the spring of 2020, that it's a violation of international law to use coercion or deception for a person to take or accept any medical medicine or medical treatment of any kind. A person, the only one under international law, person has to give informed consent to properly and legally accept any medicine or legal procedure of any kind. And of course, that didn't happen with the COVID vaccinations.
No.
People were coerced. They were threatened with losing their employment if they're in the military, with being getting a bad discharge from the military, told by doctors that this was a safe and effective vaccine when there was no evidence of that. In fact, we now know that there were no clinical trials. And of course, you can't have clinical trials in 9 months or less. That can't happen. To show the effect that the vaccines were either safe or effective. In fact, the short trials they did have showed that none of them were safe or effective, either one, that they're all dangerous and hurt people. So there's a violation of international law here with everybody involved with the COVID vaccinations, Doug, no matter who they were.
Yeah, exactly. So
which
this
continues. It's not over. Which continues.
No. Man, I'll tell you what. Yes, it's continuing. And if we don't, as individual citizens, if you're listening to my voice and John's voice, you know, I've gone through, not me personally, but I've seen people say, well, look, it's only a mask to get into this building and this, to visit, you know, so-and-so who's in the hospital. It's only a mask to go to the doctor's appointment. It's only a mask to get my blood drawn. It's only a mask. It's only, or whatever, you know. Don't comply. And if everyone said no, what the hell are they going to do? If you say no, you know what? Stick here. Bend over. I'll show you where the mask belongs. What are they going to do?
I'll tell you, I had fun with this, Doug. I had one mask with a big hole cut out right here where my mouth and nose were not covered by the mask. And right above that, it said Obey in big black letters. My friend Tim Spencer, he manufactured mosquito net masks, which had enough material that you could cover up your entire face from nose to the top of your head. Those were kind of fun. And then one hospital I went into, it said on the counter that 3-year-olds were exempt from the mask wearing. So I put the mask on my forearm, and I said I was 3 years old. I identified as a 3-year-old, and I went in there with the mask on my forearm.
Mitchell, you were the head of the party.
Oh, yeah. By then, it was late in the pandemic, and people didn't really care anymore.
Yeah, even some of the nurses and doctors I've spoken with are sick of this crap. And, you know, look, a mask is not going to stop the virus. It's like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence. It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
So the masks have their places. You know,
in an operating room, it keeps the spittle from the people in there from getting into the open wound, which that's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, and they're good for close talkers. That's a Seinfeld reference, if anyone gets that. But I jest. Okay, so but we have to understand again the psychological operations behind this. But then I do believe there's real stuff happening, like the spraying of. I just saw a report today where Gates has this new. Not new, but this stuff that he sprays on apples and other fruit that keeps them fresh forever. Right. Okay, really? You're going to eat that crap?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, again, Gates should be under the flipping prison. Okay, and who elected him to be the czar of whatever? I mean, seriously.
He's no more qualified than you or I to be in those positions when it comes to training or education.
Yeah. And another, you know, by the way, the Biden regime is look at the Obama, the Biden regime. They're poking every American citizen in the eye. Look at the medals of freedom. We talked about this last.
He's made the medal of freedom. He made that medal a joke is what he's done, quite frankly.
Yeah, George Soros, Hillary Clinton, and everyone, you know, prior to. And I'm sorry, is it the Medal of Freedom? I don't want to get this wrong. I got it wrong last time. Whatever that medal was, it's not the highest honor.
It's the highest civilian honor.
Civilian, right, but there's another one, and I don't want to get those. But anyway, but everything that Biden is doing, or his regime is doing, is poking every American citizen in the eye.
It is a Medal of Freedom. I just confirmed that.
Thank you. I think I said something else last week, and I messed up. But anyway, all right. So, but one more thing, John, in a larger sense, because I want to get to this because I think this is so critically important. It was on November 15th of 2024, last year, the last November. November 15th, folks, I played a video clip. I'm going to play this. I want to play this again. It's 2 minutes long. Okay? There's a reason for this. The title for this is Dem Wiley Nickel is openly discussing creating a shadow government to undermine Donald Trump. Again, on this platform, November 15th, this is cut one, 2 minutes in length. And you can cue this up. Eric the Techie openly admits they're going to commit treason. He wants to create a shadow government, have Adam Schiff as the shadow AG, and I'm not going to continue on. Go ahead and play that clip.
If Trump attempts to weaponize the justice system against his political opponents with Matt Gaetz at the helm, we could see incoming Senator Adam Schiff as our shadow attorney general, arguing against replacing our independent prosecutors with Trump loyalists. If Trump seeks to eliminate the Department of Education, Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, a former Teacher of the Year, could step up as Shadow Education Secretary to loudly defend public education in the United States. If Trump orders Marco Rubio to hand Ukraine and much of Eastern Europe to Russian President Vladimir Putin, Congressman Greg Meeks, as Shadow Secretary of State, could be a strong voice in support of maintaining international relationships and protecting democracy at home and abroad. Senator Michael Bennet as Shadow Treasury Secretary, and Congresswoman Susan DelBene as Shadow Commerce Secretary could help ensure the middle class and small businesses have a voice in government and call out Trump's proposed tax cuts for billionaires and corporations. As Shadow Defense Secretary, Congressman Adam Smith, a great representative for the people of Washington and not a Fox News host, could counter Trump's threat to use military force against his political opponents and work to ensure that the Department of Defense stays loyal to the Constitution and not some wannabe dictator. And Senator Tammy Duckworth could argue against cuts to the Department of Veterans Affairs that would delay the benefits and care our service members have so rightly earned. If Trump hands over the EPA to big oil ally Lee Zeldin, we could see Congresswoman Kathy Castor pushing back for environmental protection and conservation to protect the air we breathe and the water we drink. And if Trump pushes to ban abortion nationwide, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro could step in as Shadow Secretary of Health and Human Services to defend women's right to choose and argue against the gutting of Medicare by Trump and his cronies. Mr. Speaker, new times require new solutions. This shadow cabinet isn't just about opposing extreme MAGA attacks.
Cut that
on
crap off. There's a reason I played that, John. Hang with me just for a second. Also, today, Biden is banning offshore oil and gas development along most U.S. coastlines. Okay, now he's doing so in a manner that's going to make it very difficult for this to be undone. Again,
really?
A stick in the eye, a stick in the friggin' eye. Okay, but you know, the problem with that last clip, Wiley Nickel, that leftist communist soy boy, he said the quiet part out loud. But I guess, I don't know, I guess people maybe are paying attention because suddenly, and Eric the Tech, this is cut two. John, I want you to take a look at this.
Okay.
Okay. And I think you and I had discussed that video clip, the clip one. I'm pretty sure we did. But okay, having said that, here is cut two. Here is Glenn Beck from today. Watch carefully. This is an extended clip, but do me a favor, folks. Watch. Pay attention to the first part and think, okay, this is January 6th. We played that on November 15th. So watch the first part with that in mind. And the second part, who actually is running things? Who's the point man for Oatmeal for Brains? Cut to.
All right. Let me take you into the way, way, way back machine, back to the year of 2017. I'll remember how old you were then. Donald Trump is in office, and all of a sudden, from all directions, everything seemed to come out of the shadows and everything was being aimed at him, right? All right. That was the old days. Now the progressives are actually making the shadows their main selling point. I give you the distinguished moron from North Carolina.
Last week's done. As Democrats, we simply failed to convince the American people we have better ideas to solve their problems. But we do. Now we need to dust ourselves off and get ready to fight. We can't let Donald Trump's extreme MAGA agenda go unanswered or unopposed. Zone defense isn't going to work. We're going to have to go man on man. So here's an idea for how to organize our opposition. We need to borrow from our British friends and appoint a shadow cabinet to fight back against the worst abuses of a second Trump administration.
I find this amazing. Absolutely incredible and amazing. What deep state? How dare you say there's a deep state? He's crazy for saying a deep state. Then they go in and say, we're going to create a deep state. They start with, okay, we failed to convince the American people that we have better ideas. But, just like every good progressive and heart in the deep state would say, but we know better. We do have better ideas, so we're going to put them in anyway. I don't know. That seems a little wrong, doesn't it? And then my favorite is, and look, our British friends do it. Those are the people we had a war with to be not like anymore. Okay. So the plan now is for the deep state to take all of those bad ideas that lost in the election and push them through the deep state. And then he went on to publicly name all the new capos in this criminal organization. Is it? I'm sorry. My wife, who is Italian and probably in the mob, would be ashamed of me. Is it capos or capos? I don't. Doesn't matter. The mob doesn't exist. And if it did, I love them. Everyone from Adam Schiff, Hakeem Jeffries, and Chuck Schumer, all on this list. But Nickel, the moron from North Carolina, claims a deep state or shadow government, which is totally different, is nothing to worry about. After all, our cousins from the UK do it. I want you to take a look at His Majesty's official opposition shadow cabinet directly on their website. This is their government website, the shadow cabinet. There's nothing hidden there. This is the way they do it. That's not the way we do it. Remember the war? I think we had a couple of them. Okay, it's presented as an alternative government in waiting. But see, when you have a parliamentary system where coalitions are being built and then they scheme and then everybody manipulates each other, it might make a little more sense because you can call an election at any time. But we don't have that system. We don't call elections whenever we want. We have a constitutional republic with checks and balances. The founders could have made our system like England's, but they didn't. Why? Because they said it sucked. Have you read the Declaration of Independence? So what he's proposing here, out in the open, on the official record, would be the American version of the UK's shadow cabinet,
by naming the top-down elected agents that secretly will run our country through the administrative deep state because they lost, because they couldn't convince you that those were good ideas, but they know better. Oh, my gosh.
Well, hold on, people.
How's
hold
anybody
on.
Missing this?
Hang in there.
Now, I've got to think there's a whole lot of people really pissed off at Nickel right now because, dude, you've just said the quiet part out loud. But it's already being done, and the American people are sick of it. It's why things never change, no matter how you vote. How do they do it? Let me give you a little visual aid here. This congressman chose to prove his point. His shadow cabinet bulletin board. It doesn't list people like Adam Schiff or Hakeem Jeffries. No. It shows bureaucratic agencies like the EPA, the DOJ, the Department of Labor. See, you don't need one person. You have a whole buttload of people that nobody knows their name, so you can't ever vote them out of office. This is a call out to all their deep state agents that people like Schiff and Jeffries are still going to push their shadow policies. It's business as usual, regardless of the election. That is unconstitutional, because then it means it doesn't matter that we voted in another Congress or another Senate or another president.
Can you like fast forward that or drag that to a picture of Obama? You'll see it when it comes up. Keep going. I didn't realize. I thought it was okay. Let's see. Is that the end? I know Obama's in there. It doesn't matter. Okay. Really, or was this? Did I screw up? I might have screwed up. That might have been a separate clip from Glenn Beck. I thought he was talking about Obama in there. But the reason I played both of those was to show you that, look, I think people are catching on and to say yay us for being ahead of the curve on this. But Obama and John, by the way, John Moore, thelibertyman.com, riding shotgun, co-hosting, absolutely fantastic website, fantastic radio show, thelibertyman.com. Please visit his website. Please bookmark his website. And please, by all means, make sure you tune in daily to the Liberty Man, John Moore, Liberty Man broadcast. I'm telling you right now, you're going to get stuff that you have not heard. He's got just fantastic guests. And it's really, for me, it's required show prep. But John, he at some point, he was talking about Obama. And Obama, as a junior senator. That was a clip with Tucker Carlson, which I don't have in the show notes, where Tucker Carlson was talking about meeting Obama for the first time in either New York or Boston. I think it was Boston. And it was 2004. And this guy was still a state. I believe he was still in a, he was not yet elected as junior senator from Illinois. But the bottom line, those two clips together show that no one ever heard of Obama. Obama was part of the Lugar Commission as a junior senator, which was kind of unheard of at the time. Lugar Commission for the disarmament of the old Soviet Union, New Russia, of nuclear weapons. Look where we're at now. But the bottom line here is Obama was like a nobody, groomed to be a somebody. His background, especially the Islamic part, John, was covered up, and he was given a legend by the CIA, essentially. We know this. You've pointed this out. We've pointed this out. But they meld together. The first clip and what I just said, it melds together. Who's pulling the strings? Who's the middleman? Obviously, Obama's not the end, or he's not the big boss. But he's running things, at least on the ground, for the ground game. So with all that said, everything we talked about, from the clot shots to the rise of people like Fauci, Gates, and all that, we can trace back to, at least in part, to Obama into this deep state that supposedly doesn't exist. I don't know if that means anything to you, John, or if I just dropped a bunch of words out of my mouth without any kind of clarity. I just wanted to show that I believe that we're ahead of the curve. You're ahead of the curve when we discuss things like this. But more importantly, we've got to root out these people.
We do. We have no choice. We have no choice. It's been said that the Biden administration is the third Obama term. My understanding is that half the Biden administration is Obama people and half are Biden's people. And they've had a lot of disagreements over these past 4 years. But my belief is that this is, in fact, the third Obama administration. And President Trump has upset the apple cart. We haven't had a president since the 19th century that was in office, out and back again after a four-year break in service. This is unprecedented for well more than a century. I'm looking forward to what President Trump's going to do, what Bobby Kennedy Jr., the various appointments are going to do, assuming they can work without interruption. And I mentioned this last time you and I talked, Doug. I believe President Trump needed the four-year break to take care of all the legal intrigues that popped up his first administration, the various lawsuits, and that had to be, it took years to take care of them, which he did. They're all pretty much now done away with a couple of exceptions. You got a sentencing coming up, which is going to be a non-issue, I believe. Now he's going to be free of all these legal matters, these legal entanglements. It took up his valuable time. He learned from the first administration. He made a lot of mistakes listening to lobbyists to make his appointments. He learned from that, and now he hasn't done that this time. The majority of his appointments, I think, are good, solid men and women who will do a good job and serve the president's interests and the American people's interests. The opposition, which, as you said earlier, the socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims, they're desperately desperate. They are absolutely desperate. Desperate people do desperate things. And I wouldn't, since they've already murdered so many people with these COVID vaccinations, I wouldn't be surprised if they went on to murder more people to achieve their goals, Doug. I wouldn't put anything past these people. Not a bit. How about you?
You know, no. And I think that brings us to the point where we are today, January 6th, 2025, 4 years after the so-called insurrection, the Fedsurrection. You know, I think President Trump is a lot smarter, a lot more experienced, and better off today.
He was naive. 8 years ago, he was incredibly naive about the way Washington, D.C. worked. He had some ideas that were correct and accurate, but he was way too naive.
Yeah, and I think it may be easy for him once again to kind of relax a little bit. I mean, the guy was going full bore for a long time. Is you know, with appointments like Elon Musk, man, you know, God, how much trust do you put in a person like that? RFK Jr. Look, again, you know, I would trust him with the, with the health, but certainly not with the environment, for example.
Well, they have no authority to do anything about the environment. None at all.
Right. But, you know, so everyone has got to stay in their lane, I think.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Okay.
Well, Elon Musk can only make recommendations. He has no authority to do anything of any consequence on his own. He can make a recommendation, and that's it.
Well, yes, but it almost seemed like for a while there was a I don't know how to describe it except for saying a bromance there, you know, very uncomfortable at times. Okay, I'm just speaking my heart now. When you come out as president, you've got like a BFF or a constant companion. That on the campaign trail, I can see it in real life. I don't know. I've got some questions about that. But that said, it's most assuredly better than what we had. Do you think at this point Obama will become irrelevant or otherwise empowered or given, I'll just say this, given orders to double down and to fight?
Obama is a tip of a spear that has a lot of wood behind it. So he's not a standalone individual. He's an important individual who has a lot of things he can do. But when I say the term socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims, it's a collage of men and women with common goals that work together. And Obama is part of it, but he's not the entire picture. He's the only part of it, an important part nonetheless. But that's all he is. We have Alexander Soros, the son of George, who's doing
son
the day-to-day.
Son of Satan, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. The day-to-day business. We have the Muslims. We have the communists. They all have individual goals, but they cooperate to work together to accomplish these goals. And they will continue to do so with or without Obama.
In that same context, okay, I happened to catch a clip from Sebastian Gorka's show today. I didn't even realize he had a show on Salem. Okay, I mean, I knew he had a podcast. So I didn't realize he had a show on Salem Network. So I turned. It was weird. I switched. I was looking for something, and I saw him talking about Candace Owens.
Okay.
And he would look. I met Sebastian Gorka in D.C. Not impressed. Me, not impressed. Okay, I thought he was a nice. I mean, nice enough guy. Not impressed. But he spent 5 minutes. He was on a show with his wife and some other lady, woman, girl, whatever. And I don't know if it's his show or a combination of, I think it was his show, but he had the other two have their own show. But he was lighting up Candace Owens, making fun of Candace Owens by.
Really?
Yes. And I thought to myself,
That's wrong. That's wrong on so many levels.
On so many levels, because Candace was asking questions about the drones and about the transgender stuff, especially
Candace Owens is a brilliant woman who does great reporting, and I have a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, me too. And you know, I was going to grab the clip, and I thought, nah, because it's just going to piss me off. Because Candace was saying, look, you know, Castro's a bastard son, or Castro, Trudeau's a bastard son of Castro, right? We know that.
Right.
Okay, you got to be a dumb dipwit not to know that. She was talking about that. She was talking about Macron, you know, Macron's wife, or Macron being bi and his wife being a man at one point. And you know, Gorka's head was exploding. Okay, I'm thinking, what the hell? You know, really? Okay, do we really need this crap? We have enough problems dealing with the communist, socialist, Muslim dickweeds out there.
Going after Candace Owens, I don't know why Gorka would do that. I did have a lot of respect for Gorka, but that respect has now been greatly diminished.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find that and send that clip to you if I can find it. Candace Owens, no one agrees with anyone 100% of the time, all the time, right? You have minor stuff. But, man, and apparently he's taking some job in D.C. I don't know what. I don't care at the moment. But, as a people, as a nation, you and I, you know, it's to me, I know you. I know John Moore, the Liberty Man, and I can tell everyone out there, look, listen to this guy. This guy knows what he's talking about. Okay? And we lift up each other, and we fight against a common enemy.
That's right.
Not amongst ourselves.
Well, Candace didn't deserve that, not at all. I'm really disappointed that Gorka did that to her.
Yeah. I was blown. I mean, I just, my mouth was hanging open and, you know, catching flies. It was just, wow. You know, but no. anyway,
We don't need to fight among ourselves. That's just, that serves no purpose.
No, no. So again, folks, John Moore, theLibertyMan.com. John, we've got about 10 minutes left. You take us anywhere you want to take us.
Okay. Well,
it's all yours, bud.
It's, people who know me know that my mantra has become the exposing the ongoing issues with all the COVID vaccinations. I have Dr. Horowitz on with my show 1 hour a week for now. This is going back to 2000. So this is the fifth year, and actually the sixth year, excuse me. And I made a comment a number of times, Doug, that it's almost like we're living in a Twilight Zone episode that has no ending. I've stopped thinking that there would be an end to the exposure of how bad these vaccinations are. I don't believe there's going to be an end to it. We keep having more and more exposure of the complete evil and the complete sinister criminal conspiracy worldwide for these vaccinations, mostly the Western world, by the way, but quite frankly.
Are they doing it to animals as well now, still, or again?
Yeah, it's a bit different. It's same technology, but it's a bit different. mRNA vaccinates for the animals, yes. And there's some discussion that may be involved in these fogs that are appearing about 27 or so states.
Yes.
Along with aluminum and barium and uranium, of all things. Not much belong inside human beings, by the way. I do updates to my website. We have a panel set aside just for the COVID vaccinations at my website at thelibertyman.com. It gets added to 3 to 4 times a week, sometimes more, of new information about the true nature of the vaccinations, the effects of the vaccinations, the conspiracy behind it, the science behind exposing it. I'm personally acquainted with doctors and coroners who are paid to look into these matters. I know in my county, Crawford County, our coroner, a great guy, by the way, he has been very diligent at separating who died from the coronavirus and who did not, because a lot of people were given that credit for dying from the coronavirus, the COVID-19, that did not die from it. And that continues to this day also. The coroners I work with, both active duty and former coroners, they've been very explicit in exposing people dying from the COVID vaccinations. I've worked with a number of coroners over the decades. I'm sure you have also, Doug. It's a thankless job. It's a thankless job, dealing with dead people and determining how people died, why they died, and so forth. But they're very good at what they do, the coroners I've worked with. And if they get over their head with their expertise, they go to outside experts who can bring the knowledge they need, like a toxicology, for example.
I have to say this. I've met a couple of high-profile medical examiners who are also coroners. Folks, there's a difference there. But I know lied about this very issue. They went along with the narrative, hey, we'll slap this from COVID.
I've interviewed people at work at funeral homes, an owner, two employees at three different funeral homes in my county, Crawford County, Missouri. All have verified a 100% increase in the bodies they handle since COVID vaccinations came out. This has never happened. Never happened. Now, there's a 20% overall increase in all-cause mortality, and that's been shown to be very accurate also. We've gone through world wars. We've gone through the 1918 Spanish flu. There's never been a 20% increase in all-cause mortality, and it's like it's never happened, Doug. It's not even newsworthy, but that is a fact, and it's easily provable.
Who's screwing the pooch on this? Okay. Now, because I remember, I'm old enough to remember when once in a while we'd get a true story, make it out of the media mill. Okay. Who's screwing the pooch on this to the extent where they're hiding this information?
It's easily available. Anybody who's been in any journalism school, and even a beginning Cub reporter, can find this information. It's not hard to find at all. And it is being found, but it's not getting the attention of the mainstream media, and not as much as it should get in the alternative media. Some attention in the alternative media, but not nearly what it should get. This is the worst crime in human history.
Yes.
What's being done? There's nothing even comes close. We're come close to surpassing what Mao Zedong did, murdering 50 million of his own people, and which was the worst crime in human history up till then. But now we're facing a far worse crime that will be in the hundreds of millions before it's over, and will continue decades into the future with death and disability and sterility among the men and women and boys and girls who got these COVID vaccinations. It's an absolute atrocity, absolute crime against humanity, Doug.
My brother, and ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something, okay? I consider myself a good investigator, but I'll tell you what. John Moore has got the experience, and I'll tell you what, he's a great investigator and great homicide investigator. I've done my share. He's done his share. I'll tell you what, if there's anyone on the planet that I would like to, or that I'd agree to work with, it'd be John. And I'm saying that not as false flattery, but as a matter of fact. And folks, you can listen to John, and I urge you to do so. His radio show every morning.
You give me a murder assignment, I'm a bulldog. I don't give up.
I've seen that, and I'll tell you what, you would chase people to Bourbon, even to Bourbon Street. But you have a unique ability to ferret out information that others don't, and I appreciate that. And I really do. So that, folks, that's why you need to bookmark thelibertyman.com if you've never. If you're first time here or first time hearing John. And John, you know what? Maybe later this week, if you have the time, we got a few things yet to go over that we haven't touched on that maybe if you have the chance, maybe you can come back and, we can
absolutely
do this again.
I'd be glad to do that.
Man, I'll tell you what, brother, there is so much going on right now. And, give me one thought as to how you see 2025 is going to go.
I see the possibility of a new golden age for the United States and the Western world. I see the possibility of World War III exploding on our face. I see both possibilities, and I pray for one happening. I pray for one, the other one not happening.
So you got chips both on the pass and don't pass line on the crap.
Absolutely,
table.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Yep. Wow. Well, there you go, folks. I want to thank those joining us in the chat. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for taking time out. And, from Mighty Quinn 97, 97, 97, 97, 97, 97, 97, and everyone, really, all the faithful people out there, Steelers mom, God bless you. And, everyone, thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate that. And folks, you in the chat, make sure you follow that guy. Okay. He's the man to follow. John, I want to thank you. I think we're at the, let me see, my program clock is off again. So, Eric, the tech, any thoughts on how close we are to the end? A minute 15.
All right.
Minute 15. John, you got a minute.
Well, Doug, I have a list of highly qualified guests and their areas of expertise Monday through Friday. Men and women who have been there, done that, got the T-shirt in their areas of expertise. My friend Professor McCanny is coming back after about a four-week hiatus.
We have
Dr. Horowitz. We have Dr. Huff on Fridays. We have Dave Hodges on Tuesdays and my friend Steve Van Noon on Tuesdays. We have a nuclear scientist on Tuesdays also in the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. And just a a great list of men and women. As we mentioned earlier, my friend Sam Andrews on Mondays, Firearms Monday, Stephen Starr, who was asked to testify before the United Nations on the effects of nuclear weapons and EMP.